not to hurt the earth until the 144,000 could be sealed.
Same period.
Now, this seventh seal takes us back again to the beginning of that last half of the Great Tribulation period, that time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And these trumpet judgments cover the same period as the six seals that we've had in chapter 6. And another angel. I want to read this verse and then we'll take this another angel. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the altar, golden altar, which is before the throne. Now, this is the altar of incense. We've had this mighty angel already in the book. It is a shame that Scofield puts on the introduction to it Christ as high priest. You want to rub that out. This isn't Christ. We've already seen this. Christ is not an angel in this book. Nowhere. I know there are going to be times when you're tempted awfully to say Christ. As we will see in Daniel, they're tempted twice there to make it Christ, in the fiery furnace and in the lion's den, but it isn't Christ. It's Gabriel. Same mighty angel. We shall see him standing in the sun. We'll see him having power over fire. We'll see him coming with seemingly the same configuration as the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll show you why. It isn't Christ. I thought surely in chapter 15 it had to be, 14 and 15 it had to be Jesus. But, and I had several reasons. But it isn't. This angel is the same angel all the way through the book. 14 times this angel is seen. A superior angel. We see it right here. He's separated from the other angels. As he is in in Ezekiel 9. When Ezekiel saw six angels, then he saw another angel. That's the same Gabriel. He is very unique. Seven times he's called another angel. Now we shall see in chapter 14 there is a succession of angels where you have to separate the another angel, other kinds of angels from him, yes? No, he's just superior in rank. There are seven others. Now the Roman Catholic Church names them. But they do it out of the book Enoch, I believe it is. The Syriac Enoch. There are two books of Enoch in the apocryphal books. And you remember Norman Vincent Sheen prayed to his guardian. He called him an archangel, and that's another lie. And it's a lie to pray to him, too. But he called Raphael his angel. He said, I pray to him every day. It's no wonder he never got heard. He went through the wrong one. For you can't approach God through angels. There's one mediator between God and man. Who's that? The man, Christ Jesus. And no man cometh to the Father, Jesus said, except by me. Don't you go through an archangel. I thank God for my guardian angel, but I never pray to her. I've never asked my guardian angel for a thing. Not even help me on 19. I believe he's helped me on 19. He may have wrecked a few cars on 19 to keep me from getting wrecked. I don't know. But I've never asked him for a thing. I don't know his name in the first place. And I did have a preacher riding with me one time when I used to drive a lot faster. He said, "Don't look, Bragg, but you left your guardian angel 50 miles back down the road." And I know he can travel faster than that, but I've traveled a lot slower lately. Not only because of the 55-mile speed limit. I didn't obey the speed limit too well when I was way back there. So God convicted me of messing around with it too much. I wasn't under law, I was under grace, you see. But, no, I can't use that one. I have to leave that one alone. I thought at one time that this mighty angel was Michael. I'll show you. He's not named in this book. But he is named in Daniel. And he's the same angel. So I know. These are angels that stand in the presence of God. They have a special ministry. They may be higher than the 24 elders and the Zohar. I don't know. So the Zohar are awful high. But these stand in the presence of God. That's the awful, awful high elevation. Have this position. And evidently one of them is even higher. Now it would seem as though Michael is higher than Gabriel. We'll see that from the book of Daniel when the prince of Persia withstood Gabriel 21 days, but he had to get Michael to help him. So, and yet even Michael doesn't seem to be as high as the devil in creation, as we see in the ninth verse of Jude. But only one is named Gabriel. Now, let's look at the seven times he's called another angel. As I said, the word ethros, angelos, is used. Another, not ethros, but alos, same genus. Alos, angelos. Is used about three times in the book where it's just a succession of angels, as in the 14th chapter. You say, how do you get that way? You can't arbitrarily do that. Well, by some adjective put to this other angel, or some description, that shows that he is Gabriel and not just a succession. Look at the first time. Now, we've had him before, as in verse 2 of chapter 1, and we'll see that in the second division here. 14 times this angel occurs in this book. He's the mighty messenger of the throne, as seen when he's called one of the angels of the presence in Luke 1:19. When he said unto Mary, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. There's your angel of the presence. So I know Gabriel is one of them. Therefore, these other six must be also angels of the presence. And they're called that in Zechariah 6, I think verse 5. Angels standing in God's presence. But the first time he's called Alos Angelos is in 7:2. He must be the same one as he seals the 144,000. And in Ezekiel 9:2, we find Gabriel doing that, or this angel in the Old Testament doing it. 7:2. In 8:3, and we've got to go fast on these. I'd like to deal with them in detail. Here in this second chapter, he offers prayers or incense upon the heavenly altar of incense. In 8:2. A priestly ministry, and this is why Scofield says it's Christ and Gabeline says it's Christ, because they said angels are not priests. Oh, yes, they are. They're priestly angels. The third time is in 10:1. He cries with a loud voice. And he's the same angel as in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, we shall see later. And he pours out fire upon the earth, as Ezekiel 10:2, the angel does there. He pours out fire from off the altar of incense upon the earth. And we see here him doing the same thing here. as he brings judgment upon the earth by taking this fire from the golden censer. In 10:1 that was. The fourth time is in 14:6. This is an interesting one. This another angel flies in the midst of heaven with the everlasting gospel and cries with a loud voice and then gives the everlasting gospel. Angels, in other words, are going to preach during the tribulation period as well as the children of Israel. Has to be. For he flies in mid-heaven. That means right above the earth. I believe every ear on earth will hear him. Now, I don't know if anybody can be led to salvation by his message, or they'll have to get a Jewish evangelist to lead them to salvation. Now, there are a few, like for instance in chapter 14, in verses 8 and 9, there's just a succession. It's not that mighty angel. It's just a succession of angels, alas, angelas. But there are no qualifying works or mightiness attached to them to show them to be this Gabriel. They may be also seven messengers of the throne, some more of the seven angels of the throne. But the fifth time occurs in 14:15. The first one was in 14:6. This is in 14:15. He cries with a loud voice and commands the reapers to put in the sickle and reap the harvest of the earth. Now, verse 17 is just a succession, another angel. But verse 15 has to be a mighty angel. You can see it in the work that he does. I used to think this was Christ, following most commentators. I disagree with it now. I believe it's the same angel all the way through. Number 6 is in 14:18. Another angel which had power over fire. It shows he's the one here that takes fire off the altar in the censer. And the same one in Ezekiel and the same one in Daniel who had power over fire to keep the three Hebrew children from being burned to death in the fiery furnace. Another angel which had power over fire cries with a loud voice to the reapers to reap the great vintage. Then the seventh one is in 18:1, and I used to think this was Jesus. But it isn't. The description seems to fit Christ, but remember, he comes from the presence of God. Do you think an angel could come directly from the presence of God and not have the glory of God all over him? 18:1, he descends from heaven having great power. Earth is lightened with his glory. And he cries again with that mighty voice, the doom over Babylon. Babylon is fallen, that great city. And then all the way through gives that destruction of that rebuilt Babylon on the river Euphrates in the last days after the church is raptured. But seven other times, this mighty angel occurs in the book. We've already seen twice at least in 1:2. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must speedily come to pass, and he sent and signified it to his servant John. Now, that word signify is to publicly show. It carries the idea of the one who conducted John all the way through this vision of the last days that God gave to him. He was the conductor. So that's the first time that he occurs in the book, and I think it's Gabriel all the way through. Seems to be singular. He's the same one that he calls my angel in the last chapter. Jesus does. In 5:2, we saw him again where he's called a strong angel, proclaiming with a loud voice who is worthy to break the seals and open the book. That's in 5:2. The third time is in 8:13. He's the angel who flies in mid-heaven, preaching the everlasting gospel, crying with a loud voice, three woes are past, and Woe be to the earth dwellers because of the three angels which are yet to sound. This great proleptic announcement is made by Gabriel, 8:13. We'll see it maybe in today's lesson. I doubt we'll get to it, but this is very important on this angelical ministry because, remember, we're back on Old Testament grounds in the book of Revelation. Angel ministry was prominent in the Old Testament. But since the Holy Spirit came, we don't need visible angel ministry. Not at all. I don't believe God uses visible angels. I don't care what their visions are. I think it's too much sauerkraut. Pickled pig's feet and sauerkraut. I think that causes more visions than angels do. I've heard a lot of visions. And by the way, our brother out there at the university in the West, saw this 500-foot vision of Christ. Oral Roberts. I think they better watch what he eats before going to bed. I don't believe he saw that vision. I just don't believe it. The man's backslidden in the first place, and I just don't think he saw the vision. What? It helps. All you have to do is tell the gullible that you've got a pipeline into the New Jerusalem, and that somehow or other you are superior in all of your life and in your ministry, and you're seeing visions and dreaming dreams, and they'll send you the money. It'll flow in, especially to get a TV program. It seems as though people are anxious to get rid of the money for anything except for missionary work and for God's service, yes?
Some people, all those people that spend that money, they probably.
Yes, and maybe a lot of them did give it to God, though I'm worried about some money given to some folks like Herbert W. Armstrong if your motive doesn't have enough to do with it. I'm afraid you're bidding him Godspeed and you're a partaker of his evil deeds if you give to the wrong person like that who's a heretic. And Herbert W. Armstrong is a 24-karat heretic. Period. If you don't believe it, read some of his works. He believes in salvation by law. Keeping the law. I have a tract of his against this whole idea of believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He said, that's not what it says. That's not right. He says, Jesus told you how to get to save when the rich young ruler. What are the commandments? Keep the law. He said, that's what you've got to do. And then he got a new vision of Revelation that even outdoes John. In 1821, we have another the mighty angel again, which is Gabriel, who cast a great millstone into the sea. And the fifth one's in 1917. And this is the one that also people think is Christ. I saw one angel standing in the sun, crying with a loud voice, calling for the supper of the great day of God Almighty. This is not Christ, it's Gabriel. I know I haven't proved it yet, but 20:1. Again. The descending angel from heaven who binds Satan. And this is one I had a hard time not making that Christ. Now, let me come to it. I hope we have time for it. I'm thoroughly convinced in my own mind now that's not Christ. He's not an angel in the book. He's taken his rightful place. He's not in an allegorical, symbolical position now. Whenever he ascended on high and God gave all power unto him and a name which is above every name, he couldn't come down as an angel now. Not on your life. I believe this is Gabriel. Of course, he's doing it in the power of God. I don't believe that the angel who binds Satan is Jesus. Now, when we come to it, I'll try to give several reasons why I don't believe it's Christ. And the seventh time occurs three times in chapter 22 as the same person here. So I'll just make it one more. It's the angel that Christ calls my angel. My angel. Now, in the book of Daniel, and I'm not going to go through the book because I won't have time. But I just want to give you the seven times this angel Gabriel appears in this book. And it's the same one. You can see him doing the same work. I'll prove it in the 12th chapter. It's the same one as in the book of Revelation. The first time is the one that's going to ruin a lot of country singers. It's the one who is called like unto the Son of God in 325. Nebuchadnezzar cast the three Hebrew children into the fiery furnace, and when he couldn't sleep all night and came up out there early in the morning, he saw four. He said, didn't we cast three in? Who's this fourth one like unto? The Authorized Version says, Son of God. Now, wait a minute. The Hebrew is Son of the Gods. This is a heathen king, an unsaved man talking. He saw one whose brightness was above the fire. And one who had power over fire, walking in the midst of the furnace, protecting these three Hebrew children, so that even their garments weren't singed. And yet the fire was so great, it burned up the ones who threw them in. I don't believe this is Christ. I think it's the same mighty, angelical person all through the book of Daniel, seven times. We're going to have trouble again when we come to another vision of him in the book. In 5:5, he is the one who writes with his visible hand on the walls, meeny, meeny, tickle, you Protestant, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting, to break up Belshazzar's jazz feast. But in verse 24, you find he has a subordinate place. It's not Christ. The third time is in 6:22. The angel who shuts the lion's mouths, who does a dental job on him. Those who say, well, these were old, toothless lions. Well, when they threw the keepers in on top of them, or the false prophets, whoever it was they threw in, they didn't get to the bottom before they were torn out. Now, these weren't superannuated lions. But this angel Gabriel gave him lockjaw. I don't believe this was Christ. I know that ruins a lot of country songs. But don't build your theology on country singers. Boy, they can go haywire completely. I've heard more false theology from them than I have from hymnology. You'll find a lot of false theology in hymnology. Very often, where a hymn writer gets carried away. Like that one on Jordan's Stormy Banks, I stand. He's got the wrong place there. It's not the death's cold, sullen stream that you're looking at. It's that cold, solid old man that you're looking at in the plains of Mamre. In 8:15 is the fourth time. And here he's called the appearance of a man. Now remember, the word Gabriel means man of God in the Hebrew. That's what it means. Man of God. It's not an accident that he's called the appearance of a man. Can't be Christ if the Prince of Persia was stood in 21 days. Now, the Prince of Persia here, I believe, is the devil himself. And Michael had to come and help him to get through to give Daniel his message that God wanted him to have. But now in 9:21, he's named. Now we're getting somewhere. Well, I'd say Gabriel all the way through. I believe it's the same angel, 14 times in Revelation, 7 times in Daniel. He's called the man Gabriel. Daniel 9:21, whose appearance on his feet. But in case you think, well, an angel couldn't do that, the angel in Revelation does that twice to John. He fell on his feet to worship him, and he said, don't you do it. I'm a fellow servant of God like the prophets in the Greek. In 10:5:21, he is a certain man. The Hebrew is beautiful, a man of desires, a lovely man, clothed in linen, as he is here in Revelation 8, clothed in linen. In 12:6, the seventh time, and here he does the identical same thing he does in Revelation 10:1. He swears by an oath to God that there should be delay no longer. It identifies him with the angel of Revelation 10:1. This was in Daniel 12:6. I took so long on this because angel ministry occurs 63 times in Revelation. 63 times. 14 of this august one who is singled out from all the rest. Now you'll see it as we progress. We've already seen it in 1:2. I believe it is that same angel, and it's one of the angels of the presence here in verse 2. In Daniel 10, anyhow, it's in Daniel 10. I lost my place on that. I was going back to this other. But he's the same one as seen in Daniel 10:21, I guess it is. He does that swearing, that oath. It's the same. You see a little variation here, but that doesn't hurt a thing. It's like the variations in the four Gospels of the events in the life of Christ. They're independent agencies. They're both inspired, and both will be true, even though there's a difference in the description. Both descriptions will come to pass. Now, these trumpet judgments, as they start the Great Tribulation period, not only brings a cessation of activity upon earth until they can seal the 144,000, it brings a muting of heaven's choir. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence. It came to pass, silence, in heaven about the space of a half an hour. You say, that's not long. You ever try to be quiet for a half an hour? Or I wonder what it would be like to be in a soundproof room for half an hour. I believe you'd almost be walking on the ceiling before the half hour's over. For that abysmal silence. It must be the muting of heaven before God starts his strange work. Take that text down. I've given it before. Isaiah 28:21. It's a graphic text. And read the context. It's judgment. God calls his judgment his strange work. For God in infinite love sent his Son to die. And Jesus, in infinite love, died willingly. You remember we had that wrath of the Lamb in chapter 6, which is a strange work. For the lovely, loving, gentle, sweet Lamb of God to execute the wrath of God. That's a strange work. And for the infinite loving God to suddenly withdraw his grace, his universal grace, for wrath. Remember, tribulation appears a time of wrath. Now look at the text. And I want to get as far as I can in the next few minutes. I hurry in some parts so that I can get some more in other parts. We're going to be stuck very, very hard in the 13th chapter and in the 17th chapters, and we may never get to eternity in the book. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. Here are the seven angels of the presence. You'll find the same thing in 6:5 that we 6:15, I believe, or 6:5, which is 6:4. I have to write between the lines on that, and sometimes I interfere with the other line. And to them were given, didome, seven war trumpets. God in the seal judgments, the first four, used providence. Providence. I don't believe that man will be able to explain these, and I know they can't explain the last three. Of the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments. I think they're going to have consternation when especially these last three. Maybe even these. They'll say, well, astronomy for a long time has known all of these things, but you find heaven begin to bombard earth in these judgments. Now, grouping these, there are so many ways you could take them. The first four go together in all three of these, and then the last three. But I'm not interested in form so much. I want to give you the substance here, what they mean. And another angel, Gabriel, came and stood at the altar. Here's that priestly angel of Ezekiel. Having a golden censer. This word censer has to do with frankincense. And there was given, didome, unto him much incense. The Catholic Church tries to build angelical intercession on this. You can't do it. You're not praying to Gabriel. He is offering incense in heaven, symbolically before God, to go with your prayers. Again, as the cry of the souls underneath the altar in chapter 6. I believe it is the prayer of the saints, all the prayers of the saints. They're crying under persecution, their tears under sorrow and pain, their prayers of intercession, even their prayers for vindication, for judgment, is not lost. I believe they're harbored up in heaven. As God says, he's got a bottle for our tears. I believe God has saved up all these prayers. You talk about a master computer. It's nothing compared to the prayers of the saints for 6,000 years that have been ascending. Yes? Yes, I believe they go all the way through. I believe every time a Christian prays, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and prays it from the heart, he's adding a prayer in his censer. But did you know every time you pray for God's will to be done, you're not only praying for salvation of the lost, you're praying for judgment, aren't you? For God's will to be done? I have a theory I believe is true to the Word of God. That God has locked himself up to the prayers of the saints. Locked himself up. Now, there are several texts that seem to intimate this, but why should he ask us to pray for so many things when he already knows the need is there? And you don't make him loving and you don't make him willing. He's already that. And these judgments are going to come to pass. Why then does he ask us to pray thy kingdom come? I believe this literally, by the way, in heaven. I believe there's a censer in heaven. I believe Gabriel literally is ministering before this heavenly altar of incense. Now, I know that this is symbolical as far as the incense itself is concerned. The prayer isn't turned into incense. But he's showing us here that prayer does affect things. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I don't care if it's a cry for vengeance, or if it's a cry for relief, or if it's just a cry of praise to God, knowing that he's doing what he wants to do. We'll go on with this. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. You have this ascending prayers so many times. Paul even used it in the book of Hebrews in the last chapter of our prayers and praise coming as ascending as a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. That's from the altar of incense. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire off the altar and cast it into the earth. The same thing the angel Gabriel did in Ezekiel 9 and 10. Identical same thing. Same time, same place, same result. This brings on the rest of the tribulation period. And then you have in each one of these temple scenes these voices and thunderings and lightnings. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel... Man, our time's running out already. Run out. I was in hopes to get through with the eighth chapter. We'll start with these first four trumpets and then the proleptic announcement by Gabriel in mid-heaven. Sounding out the three woes. And the lamentations upon the earth dwellers. Does somebody have a question? We've got about one more minute. Yes. In other words, the appearance of a man is Gabriel. The other one evidently was, it might have been another angel of the presence, but it was the same one when he addressed Gabriel and said, make this man to understand. Gabriel there conducts Daniel through about 2,500 years of vision of a seer. As he does John about 500 years later, taking him through that period. Over 500, about 600 years. In other words, you see the unique position of this man Gabriel. Remember the word Gabriel means man of God in the Hebrew. So, he has this unique place. That's why I make him the same one through the seven and other angels, the seven other mighty angels in Revelation, and then the seven times in Daniel. You're dismissed.